The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. Book 3, the 15th chapter. How one should feel and speak on every desirable thing. The Voice of Christ. My child, this is the way you must speak on every occasion. Lord, if it be pleasing to you, so be it. If it be to your honor, Lord, be it done in your name. Lord, if you see that it is expedient and profitable for me, then grant that I may use it to your honor. But if you know that it will be harmful to me and of no good benefit to the welfare of my soul, then take this desire away from me. Not every desire is from the Holy Spirit, even though it may seem right and good. It is difficult to be certain whether it is a good spirit or a bad one that prompts one to this or that, and even to know whether you are being moved by your own spirit. Many who seemed at first to be led by a good spirit have been deceived in the end. Whatever the mind sees as good, ask and desire in fear of God and humility of heart. Above all, commit the whole matter to me with true resignation and say, Lord, you know what is better for me. Let this be done or that be done as you please. Grant what you will, as much as you will, when you will. Do with me as you know best, as will most please you, and will be for your greater honor. Place me where you will, and deal with me freely in all things. I am in your hand. Turn me about whichever way you will. Behold, I am your servant, ready to obey in all things. Not for myself do I desire to live, but for you. Would that I could do this worthily and perfectly. A prayer that the will of God be done. Grant me your grace, O most merciful Jesus, that it may be with me, and work with me, and remain with me to the very end. Grant that I may always desire and will that which is most acceptable and pleasing to you. Let your will be mine. Let my will always follow yours, and agree perfectly with it. Let my will be one with yours in willing and in not willing, and let me be unable to will or not will anything but what you will or do not will. Grant that I may die to all things in this world, and for your sake, love to be despised and unknown in this life. Give me above all desires the desire to rest in you, and in you let my heart have peace. You are true peace of heart. You alone are its rest. Without you, all things are difficult and troubled. In this peace, the self-same that is in you, the Most High, the everlasting good, I will sleep and take my rest. Amen. The 16th chapter. True comfort is to be sought in God alone. The Disciple. Whatever I can desire or imagine for my own comfort, I look for not here, but hereafter. For if I alone should have all the world's comforts and could enjoy all its delights, it is certain that they could not long endure. Therefore, my soul, you cannot enjoy full consolation or perfect delight except in God, the consoler of the poor and the helper of the humble. Wait a little, my soul. Wait for the divine promise, and you will have an abundance of all good things in heaven. If you desire these present things too much, you will lose those which are everlasting and heavenly. Use temporal things, but desire eternal things. You cannot be satisfied with any temporal goods, because you were not created to enjoy them. Even if you possessed all created things, you could not be happy and blessed. For in God, who created all these things, your whole blessedness and happiness consists, not indeed such happiness as is seen and praised by lovers of the world, but such as that for which the good and faithful servants of Christ wait, and of which the spiritual and pure of heart, whose conversation is in heaven, sometime have a foretaste. Vain and brief is all human consolation, but that which is received inwardly from the truth is blessed and true. The devout man carries his consoler, Jesus, everywhere with him, and he says to him, "Be with me, Lord Jesus, in every place and at all times. Let this be my consolation, to be willing to forgo all human comforting. And if your consolation be wanting to me, let your will and just trial of me be my greatest comfort. For you will not always be angry, nor will you threaten forever." The 17th chapter. All our care is to be placed in God. My child, allow me to do what I will with you. I know what is best for you. You think as a man. You feel in many things as human affection persuades. The disciple. Lord, what you say is true. Your care for me is greater than all the care I can take of myself. For he who does not cast all his care upon you stands very unsafely. If only my will remain right and firm toward you, Lord, do with me whatever pleases you. For whatever you shall do with me can only be good. If you wish me to be in darkness, I shall bless you. And if you wish me to be in light, again, I shall bless you. If you stoop down to comfort me, I shall bless you. And if you wish me to be afflicted, I shall bless you forever. The voice of Christ. My child, this is the disposition which you should have if you wish to walk with me. You should be as ready to suffer as to enjoy. You should as willingly be destitute and poor as rich and satisfied. The disciple. O Lord, I shall suffer willingly for your sake, whatever you wish to send me. I am ready to accept from your hand both good and evil alike, the sweet and the bitter together, sorrow with joy, and for all that happens to me, I am grateful. Keep me from all sin, and I will fear neither death nor hell. Do not cast me out forever, nor blot me out of the book of life, and whatever tribulation befalls will not harm me. The 18th chapter. Temporal suffering should be borne patiently, after the example of Christ. The voice of Christ. My child, I came down from heaven for your salvation and took upon myself your miseries, not out of necessity, but out of love, that you might learn to be patient and bear the sufferings of this life without repining. From the moment of my birth to my death on the cross, suffering did not leave me. I suffered great want of temporal goods. Often I heard many complaints against me. Disgrace and reviling I bore with patience. For my blessings, I received ingratitude. For my miracles, blasphemies, and for my teaching, scorn. The disciple. O Lord, because you were patient in life, especially in fulfilling the design of the Father, it is fitting that I, a most miserable sinner, should live patiently according to your will, and, as long as you shall wish, bear the burden of this corruptible body for the welfare of my soul. For though this present life seems burdensome, yet by your grace it becomes meritorious, and it is made brighter and more endurable for the weak by your example and the pathways of the saints. But it has also more consolation than formerly under the old law when the gates of heaven were closed, when the way thereto seemed darker than now, and when so few cared to seek the eternal kingdom. the just, the elect, could not enter heaven before your sufferings and sacred death had paid the debt. Oh, what great thanks I owe you, who have shown me and all the faithful the good and right way to your everlasting kingdom. Your life is our way, and in your holy patience we come nearer to you, who are our crown. Had you not gone before and taught us, who would have cared to follow? Alas, how many would have remained far behind, had they not before their eyes your holy example. Behold, even we who have heard of your many miracles and teachings are still lukewarm. What would happen if we did not have such light by which to follow you? End of part 17.